The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your hosts, Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here are your hosts, Sean and Flex.
Welcome to our ninth episode of MD Radio. I'm your host, Sean Ray.
Flex Wheeler, nine, and we're still doing fine.
Yeah, we are. It's Monday, the 13th of April, Flex. We are almost halfway through the month of April. I mean, is time flying or what?
Yeah, it is, and congratulations again on your sixth year, right? Anniversary?
My sixth anniversary, yeah. Yes. It was. It came and went very fast. It was on the 4th of April, and we went out to a nice Hawaiian-style dinner that the wife wanted to go to. It was quiet, and, you know, kind of anticlimactic. You don't, after you had several, I'm sure you know, that's not, you know, so much of a big deal anymore.
Yeah, I think, bro. We're about to pop off number 12 this year, so.
Ooh, you're getting old, my man.
Gotten old.
Well, you know, I was looking online, and I saw, you know, with this Orlando Pro Show coming up and the work that Ed Parizo's put in and Europa Sports has gotten behind, all the things that are going on with this coming weekend are just going to be just incredible because Ed and Betty, they go all out when they have, like, the MMA and the car shows and you know what they do out there in Texas. But I look at the competitor lineup, and I'm scratching my head. Where are the marquee bodybuilders? Where did they go besides Troy Alves, Hidetada Yamagishi, and Darren Charles? I mean, it's hard to pronounce some of these guys' names.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a new show. It's the first time that they're putting out. It's not that established. So I normally it's a type of show like that, even though they do a stellar job on it. You got kind of the newcomers and the guys who are jumping in those type of shows that are guys who probably can't place and qualify for the Olympia in a bigger name show. So I wouldn't really expect too many hard hitters to pop out at this show.
Yeah, but don't you think times have kind of changed? I mean, back in the day, we had a lot more contests to choose from when we were competing. It seems like the lineup and the contests have actually gotten fewer, but the lineup is getting smaller when you have these little shows pop up. You know, New Zealand only had maybe 10 or 12 guys, and this one on paper, I know a lot of guys come in the last minute, but you got guys that actually may be able to, you know, eke out an Olympia qualification. You got George Farah, who's no stranger to the stage, but he's a 202 competitor. Omar Deckard, a former USA champion. I'm not even sure if I'm saying this right, but Raul Carrusco. Andy Hammond, who's an over 40 pro bodybuilder. Jonathan Rowe, who won the USA's, I believe. Cedric Savage, Nathan Wansley. I mean, these are names that we're not used to saying that one or a few, even Francisco Bautista,
right,
from Spain. Some of these guys might sneak into the Olympia.
Well, I mean, that's what I think is probably going to happen, and you're right, Sean. Time has changed, but it's changed in a way where before we would just do shows, you know. I mean, other than you, I mean, me, Kevin, and, you know, and Vince Taylor, those guys back in the old days, I mean, we would pop off, you know, 6, 7, 11 shows a year, where now it don't really happen. I mean, you know, before it would be the top-tier guys going in there. Always you'd either see me, Sean, or, I mean, me, Kevin LeBron, or Paul Dillette at these big-name shows, but now, no, these guys kind of save themselves for the harder-hitting shows, but I still think it's going to be an incredible show, and you never know, one of the guys might sneak in there.
Yeah, that's true, because, I mean, writing your name on a contract these days is really not worth its weight in salt. Some of these guys wait to the last second and jump in, but it does surprise me that a couple of Floridians are not in that show. A guy by the name of Bill Wilmore, who won the Nationals, I believe, in 2006. And I'm not sure, but I don't believe Marcus Haley is doing this show. I know he hooked up with a new trainer, and he's working towards, I believe, Tampa. But why? This seems prime for a guy like Marcus Haley. It's in his backyard down there in Florida.
Only if you're ready. I mean, actually, you got to remember, Sean, he has that leg that he's trying to bring up to par. So, I mean, this probably wouldn't be a good show, in my opinion, for him to do because, you know, I'm just competing in the honor classic. It's nowhere in the world that he's gotten that leg back up to what it needs to be. So Marcus is, he's considered a veteran now in a sport. So Definitely. He doesn't want to just go in there and get waxed by some newcomer guy. I mean, he needs to be 100%, so I'm happy that he's actually, you know, kind of setting out this one.
Well, I will tell you, this lineup looks to favor Marcus, even if he was limping into it, more so than, I think, a heavily stacked contest that I believe Tampa Bay is shaping up to be. But over the weekend, Flex, they did have the New York Metropolitan Bodybuilding Championships, Fitness and Figure, that Steve Weinberger and his wife, Bev Francis, put on in New York. And they've renamed the show, actually, in memorial to Steve Stone, one of the NPC IFBB head expediters who passed Olympia weekend. So it is now called the Steve Stone Metropolitan. And we had our guys out there covering the contest and put some nice pictures up. It looked to be a pretty good show for Steve and Bev.
Bro, you cannot go wrong with any show in a New York metropolitan area. You just cannot go wrong, whether it's amateur or just figure or fitness or anything. Those people in New York support bodybuilding. They support the sport.
Well, they do. Speaking of big-time supporters of bodybuilding, none, I think, come close to this guy that we're about to bring on, our guest, Brian Dobson, out of Texas, who I believe actually was one of the guys that discovered or first laid eyes on an unknown Ronnie Coleman way back in the day and has built the whole Metroplex gym out there in Texas into something where people actually travel from around the country to go and train at, alongside of guys like Branch Warren and Johnny Jackson. We have our guest, Brian Dobson. Are you there?
I'm there, guys. How y'all doing?
Great, Brian. How are you?
I'm really good, Plex. Good to hear from you.
Definitely.
I'm honored to be on your show.
Time.
I appreciate y'all inviting me on.
Right on. Hey, Brian, so did you actually find Ronnie, or did you, like, say, hey, man, can I work in, and you guys strike up a friendship, and you saw he had, like, you know, some potential? How did that whole thing come about with Ronnie Coleman?
Well, with the way things happened with Ronnie is we had a gentleman here that was a police officer, and I was getting ready for the Mr. Texas contest, and he started talking about this rookie police officer and how, you know, he was just jacked, and I was like, well, you know, I said, bring him down here, you know, and this went on for about a month, and, you know, Ryan never came down. I said, fine. I said, tell him come down here, and I'll give him a free membership. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day clearly when Ronnie first walked in the door. He had on a pair of the old style, you know, just the old sweats with a string in them and a basic sweatshirt on, and it was they were both red, and you could see the veins through the pants in his legs, and you could see the veins in his biceps through the sweatshirt, you know, as he's wearing it. And I mean, it just, I'm like, what the crap? You know? And you know, I was used to being around a lot of good guys, big guys, and you know, a lot of freaky people, but I'd never seen anything like that, you know. And you know, it took a while to get him to really understand what he had. I mean, the very first day I saw him, I told him, you know, I go, you could be Mr. Olympia one day if you commit to this sport.
Well, and, I'm very happy that you said, very unhappy that you said that to him. Let me ask you, let's fast forward to now. I mean, there's a lot of talk. I think Ronnie actually made a statement that he was going to be competing and getting ready for the 2009 Mr. Olympia. What are your thoughts on that? Is it true? I keep hearing back and forth.
You know, I talked to him last week about it, and, you know, I heard the same rumor, and, you know, people always contact me when that kind of stuff goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called him up, and I said, Ronnie, are you going to do this or what? I said, because, you know, the last couple of years, other than his leg training, all of his training's pretty much been at his house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and,
pretty hard to make improvements.
You know, to me, that was a mistake, you know, mm-hmm. And He told me that he wasn't committed to doing this yet. He's going to wait about another month and make a final decision. And then if he does, he said he's going to come back here and train with me. So I hope he does. You know, I would love to see him make one last run. I mean, I know there's a lot of things stacked against him. You know, I know, you know, he is getting older. You know, he did get hurt. You know, everybody knows about his lat and his tricep, and, you know, for the longest time, he wouldn't admit that it was an injury, but I knew it was an injury. I was here when it happened. And, you know, when you get that nerve damage, you get that atrophy like that. And, you know, I know he goes to his chiropractor faithfully. They do a lot of decompression stuff on his disc. He had that surgery on his, you know, on his back. And, you know, he probably weighs... He's still big, you know. He's probably weighs 295, 300 or something like that when I saw him the other day. And
Brian, I want to ask you.
I think he would have to train differently, you know, but I think he could still come back and be awesome.
That was my next question for you, Brian. So at his age and everything that you know about him and the newcomers out there, do you, when you say that you think he'll be awesome, I mean, I don't think anybody could not agree with you. But let's be more specific. I mean, this is an 8-time Mr. Olympia. Do you think he can be competitive for the Olympia title or just competitive against the top 5 guys?
I still think he could be competitive to win. You know, Ronnie, you know, back in the day, we used to do so many different routines and so many different ways of training, and we really I had a lot of variety. You know, like I've watched some of your workouts, you know, on video and such, and, you know, and that's how you trained. You know, I remember I watched a back workout that you did, and you did about 15 different exercises for your back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single angle that you could possibly hit.
Right, yeah.
Upper, lower, middle, you know, wide pull-downs, narrow pull-downs, right. And, you know, he's never trained like that. You know, he's, you know, basically we've trained deadlifts, bent over rows, T-bar rows, and one-arm rows and shrugs, you know. I mean, just massive weight, you know, and, of course, it was really cool when he could do a 600-pound bent over row for 8 reps, you know. But, you know, I think those days are probably gone, and I think he's got to rethink. There's ways to get around all those injuries, you know. I mean, I'm 52, you know, and, of course, I'm no pro bodybuilder or anything, but I still get after it as hard as I possibly can. And, you know, I trained back with Branch this whole last year as he got ready for the show, and you see the difference in his back.
Yeah, Brian, let me ask you a question. You know, he is no spring chicken, and it is professional bodybuilding where I don't think, you know, if Ronnie Coleman does not do the types of things that made Ronnie Coleman who he is and who he became as a bodybuilder, he's no longer going to be the Ronnie Coleman that's 8-time Mr. Olympia. Do you not think that's going to work against him when he's going up against guys that are like, you know, 30-year-old Phil Heath and Ty Green coming off the Arnold Classic? I mean, if Ronnie's not Ronnie...
I mean, I think it could be even a better Ronnie.
Mm.
You know, Ronnie's got crazy genetics, man. I mean, he's just so blessed. I mean, you know, I believe God made him to be the ultimate bodybuilder. And, I mean, the dude doesn't even have to shave. I mean, he doesn't grow hair on his body.
I can relate.
I mean, you know, I was looking at him one time before, one of his first shows. I said, Michael, this is crazy. You don't even have to shave.
Well, the one thing I think the judges might be hypercritical of is that Ronnie raised the bar so high for himself that maybe they're going to be expecting the next coming of Ronnie Coleman, and anything short of that, he may take a tumble.
It's possible, you know, but I think he owes it to himself really to try. Mm. And of course, I know they're not going to be kind to him. You know, things bad. I mean, he's not going to get a standing ovation again, I don't think, and. You know, and I'm sure that's fine, too, you know. I just really think, you know, the last couple years, you know, forgive me, Ronnie, but, you know, his training wasn't the same as what y'all seen on the old videos, you know.
I want you to expand on that thought process. We're going to take our first commercial break here at MD Radio, speaking with Metroplex's own Brian Dobson and Flex Wheeler. I'm Sean Ray at MD Muscle Radio.
Heavy D up in the limousine, hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
If you're looking for the no-bull supplements, Zero Limits is the brand for you. Zero Limits products represent the hierarchy of bodybuilding supplements. Zero Limits is for those who dare to force their bodies through the torturous acts of physical challenge and display a whatever-it-takes-to-win attitude. Zero Limits goes beyond the mundane pack of Me Too products with the development of a real breakthrough and innovation to take muscle building further than it has ever gone before. Zero Limits has revolutionized testosterone enhancements with Novatest. Experience unprecedented 10,000% increases in testosterone and watch your strength and muscle gains go through the roof. Novatest is in a class of its own for a select group of athletes who live by the Zero Limits philosophy of never setting limits on themselves. Novatest, fast, powerful, potent elevations in testosterone. Novatest from Zero Limits. Order Novatest at www.getxl.com because large isn't big enough.
Dimethazine, the new generation of designer anabolics. Brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Are you sick of the current crop of weak supplements on the market? Are you tired of wasting money on products that don't deliver results? Dimethazine is a potent anabolic prohormone that delivers massive gains in size and strength. Product customers report 10 to 15 pound muscle gains in one 30-day cycle and 15% or more gains in overall power and compound movements. You train, you eat, you sweat. You deserve results. Dimethazine, the new generation of designer anabolics. iForce Nutrition. The best bodies are built by force. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean and Flex. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony. It's a movie, so act like you know me. Say it with me.
MD Radio, Flex Wheeler, Sean Ray, Episode 9. We're here with Brian Dobson. Brian, I have a question. I kind of agree with you, I know Sean was saying before he can't, if he doesn't do the same thing, it won't be the same old Ronnie, but I've always, when me and Ronnie were even closer, I've always told Ronnie, bro, I mean, why do you go in there and you train like that? Why do you go in there and freaking squat 600, 900 pounds or whatever? You know, your body gets older, you gotta be wiser. So sure. I agree, I'm not so sure that he can be better, than he ever was, cause wow, that is a hell of an order to put in. I do think he has probably some of the greatest genetics out there, and he probably can pull off some things that other guys can't. But I agree with you. If he comes in here, you know, with the mind frame that he's going to destroy the gym, I think he's going to destroy himself.
Right. I think if he just trained smarter, you know, there's so many different ways to train now, and so many different methodologies. I mean, they've always been out there, but like Ronnie, he would never like lock a tricep push down and hold it. Say for instance. You know, it was always just kind of pump, 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 pump. And I think if he did that, it would make a big difference in the way his tricep looks. You know, I mean, just, in, you know, instead of, you know, we used to do curls, me and him, with 245, 250 pounds on a straight bar, 8-10 reps. And, you know, maybe if he goes over and does stuff with a much lighter weight and just holds it and slow motion training. I mean, there's just so many different ways. I mean,
More refining instead of actually trying to build, because he's there already, right?
Exactly. Just refining his physique. You know, I mean, he's still big. Like I said, the dude just, I mean, he said he weighed 295 when he was here last Wednesday.
Yeah, but Brian, I mean, with a gym like yours, I'm sure Ryan has a great state-of-the-art home gym. I mean, you got to talk about the mindset of training at home as compared to training in a gym like you've built with those other alpha male personalities walking around in there. We were talking about maybe the edge being taken off him training at home for the last couple of years, and granted, he may be entitled to a break, but if he's talking about a comeback, I mean, where does that comeback begin? Does it begin where he's been training the last 2 years at home in the comforts of his home, or does he go back to where it all started, you know, to Metroflex?
I sure hope it's where he comes back here. You know, I mean, I've told him I will do everything in my power to help him. I mean, you know, I'm very busy. I mean, I promote the Ryan Cohen Classic. I promote the Branch Warren Classic. I do strongman shows. I train, you know, lots of clients, internet clients, just like everybody tries to make a living out there nowadays. But I will dedicate whatever it takes to him to help him get back to normal. And, you know, I mean, maybe it'll take me training with him. I mean, I'm sure he'll still kick my ass, but I'll make sure go down fighting.
Well, speaking about getting ass kickers, I mean, you also have guys that you mentioned earlier, a good friend of yours, Branch Warren, and Big Johnny Jackson. I mean,
sure.
Is it interchangeable with these guys that you train with? And what's your role when they're in the gym? I mean, do you spot them? Do you train with them? Do you push them?
I just try to be a motivator and an encourager. You know, they're human beings just like everybody else, and they have bad days. You know, and sometimes people just need to be lifted up, you know, and, you know, like Branch is really a great example. I mean, he has changed so much. I mean, he's matured and grown up as a man so much in the last few years. And I mean, I couldn't be more proud of him. I mean, he has done everything that he could possibly do to improve himself. You know, he's become a real businessman. I mean, extreme hard worker. I mean, the dude gets up early every day. He goes to bed early every night. I mean, we've got so many things going with him now. I mean, I'm trying to help him get promoted into other venues other than just bodybuilding. I mean, he runs a shipping business that does worldwide business. And then on top of that, you know, we're big hunters. And I'm like, you know, Branch, you're famous, you know. Let's leverage that. And so now I believe it looks like we're going to get a Branch Warren hardcore hunting show on one of the outdoor channels coming up here really soon.
That sounds incredible. Let me ask you, Brian. Now, Branch, I couldn't agree. The guy, just a tremendous guy. I mean, blue collar, hard work. I mean, you probably couldn't ask for a better person to be training in a gym as far as his conduct and everything. Now, with these guys, with Branch, with Ronnie, with the rest of the guys that's in there, are you their trainer or are you just assist them and or are you actually quote unquote their actual trainer?
Well, all of the above, you know. I mean, like with Branch, he won't let anybody train him but me. And I really don't necessarily make up the workouts a lot of times. You know, he knows what he wants to do, but I'll get back there and spot him and motivate him and, you know, slap him in the back of the head if that's what it takes to get him to get an extra rep or whatever. And, you know, like with Ronnie, I actually made up the workouts for a long, long time with Ronnie. And then, I would say the last few years, you know, Ronnie has basically done the same workout. I mean, Ronnie's really, generic, I guess, is the word I'm trying to say for training. I mean, it's, you know, on chest day, he's going to do flat bench, incline bench, and decline bench. 2 days later, he's going to do dumbbell press, incline dumbbell press, decline dumbbell press.
Really?
You know, and he basically works up to one heavy set, you know, blasts it out. And, of course, when he was able to do, you know, 500 for 8 on the bench, that worked really well. You know, the last show, you know, when he wasn't up to par, you know, he wasn't doing the weights that he could normally do, you know.
Was that reflective, Brian, of the aging process? We know he had triplets. We know he got married. We know he's been on the actually announced on stage that he was retiring. And the mindset kind of, you know, gets put into cruise control. I mean, isn't that kind of the residual effect of doing the same thing but just not at the same level? And now, you know, maybe the way he looked is reflective of not having that, you know, fight in him?
I'm sure it is. You know, I mean, he faces mental anxiety just like all of us, you know, and I'm sure that had to be a big part of it. You know, plus, you know, him being on top for so long and, you know, you get complacent. I mean, it's probably impossible not to get complacent when you have that greatest success.
Right.
You know, in everything, you know, in everything. I mean, you look at the guys in the Ultimate Fight, the guy that wins, you know, 12 fights in a row by knockout, all of a sudden, man, he gets knocked off, man. Because you got all those hungry lions out there, you know, and I'm hoping that maybe this will change him, you know, and then he'll come back hungrier than ever, you know.
Brian, if Ronnie comes back in the gym and he's training with you, as close as you guys are, if you were to detect that he's not going to be in the right type of shape or he's not there mentally, will you ask him or would you put the word in, Ronnie, hey, man, call it off, don't go in there and destroy what you created?
Sure.
Me personally, I mean, unless he can come in and it's pretty hard for anyone to come in at 100% all the time.
Right.
And as you get older, I mean, no matter what, even though he's probably one of the freakier guys I ever met, it's going to be impossible, especially at that age and everything. But to come in at his high 90 percentiles, I think that's achievable. If you don't see him come in with that, will you try to pull the trigger and ask him not even to compete? Because one of the biggest things I'm worried about is him just ruining, you know, this dynasty that he's created.
Right.
I mean, I'd never want to be at his position and come in and have guys that I used to just just take out for a walk, you know, sure. spanking me on stage, what would you do?
Well, I agree with you. You know, I wouldn't want to see him go up there and get ate up by the young lions. You know, and I mean, it's always sad to see an old lion get killed. You know,
speaking of old lions, when you get out there and you're hunting with your boy Branch Warren for the boar and all that stuff, and waist high water, and your whatever, what do you carry, an AK-47? What are you guys doing out there? I mean, what? I heard you guys donate the meat or something. Talk about the kill.
Sure.
Hunt.
Okay. Basically, when we hunt, we use dogs. I've got a whole pack of trained hog dogs, and you know, and they're just like athletes. You know, I mean, I've trained them and worked with them for a long, long time to get the ones we have right now, and we've got some really good dogs. And the wild hog is a problem here in Texas because you know they destroy crops and they're spreading because they're really smart and people, you know, they have really. Let me try to say that at one time they were $1 a pound live weight. So I used to catch them and sell them for money. And we'd have to catch them alive. We'd have to take them to a place in Fort Worth and we would get paid. Yeah. But now the price has dropped so much. But when the price was high, it caused people to want them on their land, you know, because they think, well, gosh, you know, $1 a pound, you know, heck, we can make money. This is a money item for us now. But now it's not. You know, now only one over 200 pound brings any kind of money, and it's about 40 cents. The smaller ones don't bring anything, and they become a problem. And, of course, you know, we love to hunt for the excitement. You know, it really kind of keeps me out of trouble. You know, I've been married for many years myself, and I've always been a high-energy, exciting, what do you say, adventurous person. But when you go out and you hunt hard like that and you take one down and catch it alive or, you know, stab it with a knife or it's a rush, you know. I'm sure it's very similar to going off to war almost, you know. I mean, you know, we don't leave any dog behind. If a dog gets cut down, I'll carry him out 5 miles or 10 miles, whatever it takes. And
has that happened where one of your dogs have gotten killed? I know my brother-in-law was actually attacked by, I think it was a 300 or 400 pound freaking crazy one of those animals.
Sure.
He shot him from a distance, and just, I mean, he's one of those big-time hunters and just stupidly just went down there and about an hour later and didn't even take his handgun down there, and evidently the boar had some children around, some cubs around it or whatever, and just gouged him out to hell, and he ended up stabbing it with his knife, and for whatever reason, the hog let him go, but it ripped him apart. Have you ever lost any dogs?
We have. You know, it's kind of a nature of the game. You go sometimes for long, long times without anything bad happening to your dogs, and then you'll get streaks where it just happens, you know. Of course, a lot of these dogs, that, you know, it's a learning process for them, you know. They learn to back off, and an ideal dog will be able to find a hog, he'll be able to stop him from running, and then he'll back up and bark. And then you move in with your pit bulls or your American bulldogs or... There's a dog called the Dogo that we use a lot. It's a combination of various bull breeds. It's a really big, looks like a big white Great Dane pit bull mix, and those are called catch dogs. And those dogs will go in and they'll actually catch the hog and hang onto his ears. Some grab the nose. They all have their own technique. And then you run in and you grab him and you flip him and you tie him up or you take him out with a knife or whatever you want to do.
You're talking Chinese to me and Flex right here in California. We know nothing about hunting, but it sounds like you guys do it up big in Texas. Brian, give us really quick the information on the Ronnie Coleman Classic that I know you co-promote really quick.
Yes, sir. The Ronnie Coleman Classic will be coming up this Saturday, 4/18, and it's going to be at the Mesquite Convention Center, 1800 Rodeo Drive in Mesquite, Texas. It's a national qualifier. We have every division, you know, all the from bantamweight to super heavyweight in the men's open. We have a men's novice class. We have masters from 40 over, 50 over, 60 over, and I actually have 70-year-old competing this year.
Will Ronnie Coleman be guest posing, or do you have a guest poser?
No, we have Dexter Jackson guest posing.
Mr. Olympia, Dexter Jackson at the Ronnie Coleman class this Saturday. Yeah. Brian, hey, thanks for coming on, sharing that with us.
Man, yes, sir. I sure appreciate y'all letting me get on there. And just if I can say one more thing real quick, man, we're also starting to license Metroflex gyms. And if anyone's interested in that, we also have an online store now. If you can check out our website, www.metroflexgym.com, and We keep all this stuff on there, all of our updated info.
Thanks for letting us use your gym for photo shoots out there, man.
Oh, man, we love having y'all. It's a blessing to be part of the MD family.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, take care, Brian.
Thank you all so much. God bless you.
All right, this is Brian Dobson, Metro Flex out in Texas. We're going to take our next commercial break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk to you, the callers. Make sure you call in and ask the pros. Sean and Flex Wheeler, MD Radio.
Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
What are you going to do when that big emergency strikes? Do you know how to prepare? Do you know when? What if we provided you a source to learn from and plan as you go? Listen for The Road to Ready with your host, Rick Tobin. Rick will offer a weekly source of reliable information and resources. You'll hear about new ideas and innovation in emergency management. Best of all, you'll have the tools to get ready for any emergency in small bites each week. The Road to Ready is heard every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America.
The biggest rage in bodybuilding is Dark Rage. Dark Rage sets a new standard in pre-workout supplementation and muscle pumps with its advanced new EPO blood doping technology. Dark Rage's mind-altering activators put you in a state of temporary rage and fury, allowing you to take your training intensity to a new level of insanity. From your very first rep, Dark Rage's EPO blood doping technology forces more blood through your garden hose veins as a surge of raw power is triggered by Dark Rage's advanced anabolic agents, allowing you to train heavier, harder, and longer so you can grow bigger and stronger. Dark Rage is the biggest rage in bodybuilding. Feel the rage at www.getmhp.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean and Flex. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony. It's a movie, so act like you know me. Say it with me.
MD Radio, we're going to start off now. We're taking in some callers and also viewing some of the questions we've gotten from you guys personally. Our first caller is on Keith Big Williams. What's going on, baby?
What's up, Flex? How you doing?
Nothing much. You got Sean and Flex on the radio, man. How's the diet going? I know there's a lot of talk about your pictures have been blown up and it was not really what your legs looking like. I mean, how did you put on all this size, Keith?
Well, you know, I got up with you in November. And we started talking about just, you know, everybody said my, you know, a lot of people were questioning my legs and the size of my legs versus my upper body. And, you know, I was on a different diet last year. I was on my keto diet where, you know, I was doing up to 4 hours of cardio a day, and it cost me my legs.
4 hours?
I was doing 4 hours of cardio a day, and it cost me size on my legs. You know, I'm, you know, waking up in the morning, doing an hour and a half spinning and climbing and walking, and it just cost me size. And, you know, I came in shredded, but, you know, in order to get shredded, I sacrificed size on my legs. And, you know, we just went to a different program with you this year, and a lot of people have been saying, you know, how does legs go up to look like Ronnie Coleman's and Trey Brewer's this year, you know, the high volume rep thing works for me, and less cardio works, and I still keep my leanness on, and I'm actually leaner this year and bigger this year than I was last year.
Well, Keith, you're on the line with Sean and Flex here, obviously. What's your question for us today?
Well, you know, my question is, you know, a lot of people are, you know, questioning, you know, what is your philosophy on how you train people, what makes it special and different from anybody else's?
You know what? I'll answer first, and actually I'd like to hear what Sean, because Sean also has frequently trained some guys for shows and stuff like that. Me personally, I just feel that a diet or a routine or a training has to be identified and has to be representative of the person's look and their body and their overall feel, and instead of just a TV dinner type workout, everything needs to be personally for that individual. So I just try to get to know the person and, you know, mind frame and their weaknesses and study their body and then attach it from there, you know, attack it from there. Sean, what are your thoughts on that? How do you train people, and is there any difference between that?
Well, I mean, like, you know, I never really trained people. I trained with people, and I used them as sparring partners. I think you're acutely aware of that. But I didn't have the time or the inclination to try to, like, help sculpt another person's physique. I mean, I think for me, my training style, my mindset was a little bit different than some of the people that I trained with, and my whole thing was to try to beat them in the gym. So I was constantly at work on myself, not necessarily trying to improve somebody else.
So in other words, the guys who actually paid you and flew in from other states and other parts of the world, they paid for you to beat up on them and beat their sponsor.
They didn't know what was coming, Flex. I mean, I used them the same way they were using me. I said, follow me. So they did what I did. I mean, I recognize I was the pro bodybuilder in all of this, and I kind of had the mindset like a boxer. I mean, if you go out to train with Mike Tyson, he's not going to show you how to fight. You're going to get in there, and you're going to learn how to fight while he's kicking your ass.
Right.
So when these guys came out, I used it kind of as like fresh meat. I said, okay, you want me to do your workout or you want to do my workout? Of course, they wanted to do my workout. So I quietly and silently took them, you know, to the 11th and 12th round and tried to knock them out every workout. I didn't teach them, but they learned when it was all over, in hindsight, you know, what it takes to be Sean Ray.
Right. Well, listen, I'm going to pull a question from my section, the Flex Wheeler Zone. I have a question here from Norway Power, and he's going back from the rumors that I used to train and I was really lazy in a gym, and what are my thoughts about that as far as my intensity? I know Sean trained with me, and I trained with a few other people. I know, like with Sean, he has a very fast pace of training where I wasn't used to training that way. I trained completely different, but I was always one that I didn't believe in growling and spitting and throwing up blood and stuff like that in the gym. I was very mental about what I did. I believe in like a mind-muscle type of connection, so I know a lot of times my actual training partners would get upset because I would frequently walk away from them while they were doing their set because I wanted to try to keep my mental lock, or else I would try to calm myself down and be able to get ready for the next storm of an exercise. Sean, I mean, let's take that question for you. I mean, how is your training and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, we both kind of, it's always nice to have a mix. I didn't always think my way was the best way. I frequently train with other bodybuilders and let them take the lead. And a lot of times, like you said, I would lose interest because the pace was too slow. Mm. I realized I didn't need 5 minutes to recover in order to do a set of squats because I'm lifting 1,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I did the opposite. I mean, part of my cardio workout was incorporated in the speed and the pace of my exercises, not only the speed at which the exercise was executed, but the, you know, the shortness of breaks in between exercises and sets. So, yeah, I trained a little bit faster than most, but, you know, I also trained slow with Chris Cormier and yourself and even Paul Dillette, and I was able to reap the rewards of all those styles. I'm a big believer in variety. One of the email questions that I got from a fan was that, what was the biggest that my arms ever tape measured at? And I know you'll answer yours in a second, but I was never a firm believer in a tape measure on any level. I never had my body fat tested. I don't know how many calories I took in. And I also never knew how much protein I did. I just wasn't a numbers guy. I was a mirror guy. And if my arms looked big, I didn't want to burst any bubbles by saying they were 17 inches when they thought they were 21 inches. So I just never paid attention to the measuring tape. But Flex, you, on the other hand, I know in the offseason you were up to like 270. Did you ever take the tape measure to some body parts just for GP, general purpose?
When I was a younger pro, I used to, you know, tape off my legs and my arms and stuff like that. The heaviest I ever got was it was on a 297 side, and actually I was a little fatter than I normally was. I kind of hung around like 5% body fat all the time. But the biggest my arms ever were 22 3/4. And then I just kind of stopped measuring them. I actually dropped down to actually only training my arms once a week because they're a body part that actually grew pretty well and pretty fast, kind of like your quad, Sean, where no matter what, you know, you just had great quads always. Well, my arms are really quick responders, so I actually would actually try to skip over working out with them because they would just kind of look too stupid.
How much did you weigh when they were 22 inches?
That was actually, they were 22 from the time I got 22 and three quarter. They were that size from the time I got to the 60s all the way up to the 80s. They didn't get any bigger.
But even on stage, like in shape, when you dieted down?
Oh, no. Actually, yeah. I never really measured them when I was dieted down on stage. I
think no one ever does.
Yeah, dieting, I think I measured them one time, and it wasn't. I think I was still like maybe 5 or 6 weeks out. And they measured right at like, I think it was like barely 22. They had barely made 22 or something like that. And then I kind of lost interest in them. And I only measured them, I think, one or two times just because, you know, it was kind of the talk of the town then with the guys. And I was back in a, you know, Paul Gillette era and stuff like that, you know, when guys were just, you know, true gunslingers. So we were kind of joking around saying, hey, if you don't carry 22s, you're not a certified gunslinger. And that's when we kind of start taping up.
Yeah, impressive. Let's bring on our next caller. Our next caller is on the line. Speak. Hello.
Hey, you're on with Flex Wheel and Sean Ray. What's your question?
Hello, guys.
We're here.
Hey, how's it going?
It's Victor Prisk calling.
Doctor!
How are you guys?
Good. How about you, Doc?
I'm pretty well.
What's your question, bro?
Hey, I just wanted to throw out something. I'm offering up a $1,000 Best Poser Award at the Pittsburgh Under 202.
Wow.
At the IFBB Pittsburgh Under 202. So, really looking forward to seeing some good posing out there.
Well, that's Jim Mannion's show, and you decided to contribute the $1,000 Best Presentation Award because what?
Because I wanted to encourage people to entertain the city of Pittsburgh. My hometown here. I am in practice here in Pittsburgh, and I really want to encourage it to be an awesome show. And hopefully get some of these guys, like, I don't know, have we heard from Dave Henry? And
yeah, we know that Richard Jones will definitely be there. I believe Kevin English is going to be there. That show is going to be the first 202, so it might stack up pretty quick.
Wow, that's really big of you, bro. Congratulations. That's great, man. Hopefully that will spur some guys on to put a little bit more in their routine. I know me and Sean were very firm believers in entertaining our guests. You know, a lot of people used to ask me, Sean, and that was another question on my board, as far as my posing routine and actually what posing music I would use. And why did I choose to use slow music? Let me give you my mentality on that and see if what yours is against that, Sean. I believed in using slow music because it was my way of telling the audience to sit down, to settle down, to be quiet and pay attention to what I have to display. And then when I transferred into the faster music, it was because I wanted them to get involved and have fun and to get interactive with me and stuff like that. Why did you do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a reflection of my personality, Flex. I tried changing up from the slow music to the fast music once, but I'm not a fast music guy. I'm laid back. I like the mellow stuff. I mean, I was introduced into bodybuilding and the art of posing through John Brown and Chris Dickerson, who likes slow melodramatic music where you can actually display your physique in an artsy way. I didn't have the funky, you know, type of a deal in terms of trying to go to that music change that you were often noted for, and a lot of guys are as well. But, you know, posing is an art form to me, so I kept
right.
It low. But it's nice to see the doctor, the good doctor, Victor Prisk, putting his money where his mouth is to motivate these bodybuilders at the Pittsburgh Pro Championships. That will be May 2nd, I believe it is, in
right.
Pittsburgh, the home of the champion, world champion, Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to take another commercial break here, and we are in the home stretch here on MD Radio, Episode 9, with Sean and Flex, Ask the Pros.
Salt and pepper and heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack Mr. Magic Molly Mall.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
Dimethazine, the new generation of designer anabolics. Brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Are you sick of the current crop of weak supplements on the market? Are you tired of wasting money on products that don't deliver results? Dimethazine is a potent anabolic prohormone that delivers massive gains in size and strength. Product customers report 10 to 15 pound muscle gains in one 30-day cycle and 15% or more gains in overall power and compound movements. You train, you eat, you sweat, you deserve results. Dimethazine, the new generation of designer anabolics. iForce Nutrition. The best bodies are built by force. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
Muscle Meds introduces the biggest breakthrough ever in nitric oxide, Enoxide. This newly discovered super molecule delivers fast, potent elevations of real nitric oxide directly into your bloodstream. Enoxide is not a mere precursor like AAKG or arginine. It's real, pure nitric oxide, 2,000 times more potent than any nitric oxide precursor. Enoxide, real science, real nitric oxide, real results. Enoxide is so powerful that your arms will swell as this super molecule triggers the most insane muscle pumps you've ever experienced. Purchase your mind-blowing fiber-tearing Enoxide pump at GNC or at www.enoxide.com. That's www.enoxide.com.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean and Flex. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony. It's a movie, so act like you know me. Say it with me.
It's Flex Wheeler and your big Sean Ray on MD Radio. We're in our last leg here. We're going to pull a couple more questions from the internet here. I'm going to answer a question that this guy has been killing me, Mr. 316. He's been wondering the actual music that I use for the 1985 Mr. Olympia. And bro, I'm sorry. I mean, you asked me this back in April. I cannot find that doggone video. I have no idea what music. I'm sure it was slow. That was 95. That was a year right after my car accident. So that was the first time I walked back on stage. I promise you I'll find it and I'll get it back to you. But I... Do you remember?
What show was it?
It was the 95 Mr. Olympia. He wants to know the music I use. I have an idea, but I can't even YouTube it. It's not even on YouTube. I didn't even know
you're in the 95 Olympia. What did you place?
Huh?
What did you place?
What do you mean, what did I place?
What place did you get in 95? I know Kevin Varney was second.
Oh, I got hammered, bro. I think that was right after my car accident. 94 is my car accident, so I think I got like 6th or 7th or something.
Yeah, Kevin, obviously Dorian won. Kevin was second. Who was third in that show in 95? I know Nasser, I believe, was third, and I think I was fourth. I didn't know you were even in the contest. You're right. You come back from the injury.
Yeah, no, I was like seventh or eighth or something. I got hammered.
It's funny how people you just think we know this stuff off the top of our head.
Yeah, can you remember the music that you done years ago?
Me personally, yeah, because I didn't do as many contests as you. I did, you know, like 15 shows. You did like 30-something, won like 20 of them, but... I got a question, Flex. Somebody asked me, Sean, will I ever write a tell-all book about my journey in bodybuilding? And I said, you know, I won't rule it out. I mean, I liked what you did with your biography, Flexibility. I like what you did there, but I think you could have gone a little deeper.
Yeah.
You scratched the surface, but, you know, it was an interesting read, to say the least, based on where you were in life.
Now, how deep would you be able to go, Sean, if you wrote a book?
Well, I mean, people want dirt, and I don't think that there's not a lot of dirt here. There's some glitz and there's some glamour, but there's some stories that I haven't gone on record to talk about, and I'm not one for, like, telling all and putting other people out there without written consent or permission, but I think if it's just about me and it's germane to me in a biography sense, how my journey was, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I might. It's something I might entertain, and I'm still young enough to write one.
Right.
But it's not at the top of my list of things to do.
I definitely think that would be a good read. I got a question. It's from MaxRep27. He's asking, has my training changed that dramatically from the years when I was actually utilizing sports technology drugs versus now? How many times a day I train and what's my weight and all that stuff? Yeah, it's really changed a lot. I take a little bit more time in breaks. I stretch a lot in between my actual sets where I really didn't care to. I really warm up a lot now, especially having reconstructive shoulder surgery on both shoulders. And I use a lot of lighter weight. My mentality is the same. I use exact same workouts and same things that I did, but just the weight that I use in a reps, I don't do the same. I used to always believe in 20s when it came to legs. Now I just do 10. I'm just kind of, you know, trying to maintain. I'll be turning 44 this year, so I just want to look good for an old guy. So it's drastically changed, especially my mind frame. What about you, Sean? I heard you earlier saying you go back in the gym, you know, I hit and miss and everything. Is it quite different from what it was before?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm conscious of the fact that I was a world-class athlete and I have to hold back the reins because I get in there and I start getting into a groove and, you know, I've got a couple of weeks under my belt and then, you know, it just seems like the whole lifestyle starts to take over and I start putting myself first. And I really had to tame myself to not put my bodybuilding interests ahead of what I think my priorities are. And some people can manage to do both, but for me, I can't. I'm one of those guys that, you know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to jump in with both feet. And when I get like 2 weeks of consistency where I got to get my six meals in, I got to get my, you know, 2 hours of workout in, it takes me to a place of kind of obsessive compulsion. And I've gotten so far away from that over the last 8 years and managed to contain that it's been able to make my home life and my business life a little bit more manageable. But my body's not my number one priority in terms of how I look or how I feel. I live that already. So I'm in there recreationally training at LA Fitness, and if I get into that groove where I don't miss a day, the following week I almost like purposefully miss a couple days because, you know, I want to be here for these kids and I want to be able to be creative with my thought process and business interests. So writing right now for me, I'm pouring most of my energy into writing the way that I did into bodybuilding because it's a little bit more self-rewarding in terms of being able to share those experiences rather than selfishly training my body.
Right. Well, you're lucky. Unfortunately, with my company that I'm partners with and co-own, I have to stay in some type of shape. And, yeah, you're so right, man. I every once in a while I force myself to eat right, you know, and try to hit the six-meal mark and get in the gym. And, man, it just really makes me so irritated because it's like insult to injury, but you got to bring food on the table. I'm going to take one last question, and it's from Robbie Duran. He's asking, you know, about the 1993 Mr. Olympia, where the announcer made a mistake by saying I was at 0.0% body fat.
and you were still breathing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, you got to understand, I think it was like 0.3, 0.3 what it was. But the measuring device that we used back then, that's what it can calibrate at that time. That's how much muscle, that's how much fat was in between a skin and muscle. There's no way of ever getting that low without being dead. I mean, I think your brain needs 2% body fat just to be able to survive. So, you know, I think people are, you know, have a misconception when somebody says this is what their body fat is. That's, you know, for me, I only cared about how much body fat was in between the skin and muscle, subcutaneous, how much water was in between the skin and muscle. So everybody was quite different in doing their body fat. I know, Sean, you didn't even really care. You actually went by the mirror, right?
Seems like the further away I get from bodybuilding, the more like unique that actually sounds. It sounds like it's totally unheard of. But, I mean, that's what happened for me. I guess that's where I term genetics to come into play because my genetics maybe just didn't have to do all of the things that some people did. And not everything's explainable. I mean, like Tiger Woods on the golf course or Michael Jordan on the basketball course. I can't write down and bottle everything that I did and say this is the reason why. I just think there's some genetics advantages that I had over other people. One last email, Flex, that I did get, it says, did you approach sponsors over the years or did they seek me out?
Good question.
And, over the years, I didn't really seek a whole lot. I just did the business of bodybuilding. That's my famous phrase. The better I was as a bodybuilder, the easier it was to come about companies that wanted to utilize me in various aspects. And yes, I did seek out Gold's Gym and Powerhouse Gyms to do work with them, as well as Max Muscles, because they were plentiful. And there weren't, you know, enough of those gyms or Max Muscle chains to go around for all the bodybuilders. So I felt I could keep myself busy by working all of them. So I did make myself available in that regard. But they were really only interested in me because I was being a champion bodybuilder and the best that I could be. And that paid off in spades.
You know what? It's different, huh, Sean, because, I mean, I remember, and probably the same for you, but I remember right on stage that when I won the USA in 92, I mean, Joe Weider said, you know, as he was holding my hand up, you know, he was on one side, Jim Manning on the other, and Joe's like, don't worry about it, Flex, I'll give you a contract, come by the office, where now, I mean, the guy's got to go out and fight for a contract nowadays.
Well, the one thing that holds true, Flex, is everyone loves a winner, and everybody polarizes towards a champion. We are down with episode number 9. Next week, we'll be back with episode number 10 and the results of the Europa Orlando Pro Bodybuilding Championships. For Flex Wheeler, I'm Sean Ray.
We're out of here.
When I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight because I rhyme tight.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean and Flex again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America.
How'd it happen? How they let me in the booth? How they let these rappers lie? How dare I tell the truth? I'm the truth and these other boys phony. It's a movie, so act like you know me. I'm a lyricist to the
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.